I just wanted to take this opportunity early in this new year to encourage you today to keep trusting God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 20, there's a verse that has some very important words. And I want you to hear these words, and I kind of want you to hold on to them. They're going to be our theme, actually, as we move into 8 days of prayer in a couple of weeks later this month. But verse 20 says this: "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Our eyes are on you. This verse comes from the story where Judah is faced with an impossible situation, and their only hope and trust would be in God. When they did not know what to do, they called on God. When they did not know where to turn, they trusted God. So today I want to take you to this story. It's, like I said, it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We won't read the whole chapter, but we're going to go through and look at a few different verses. And so it begins just with verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. "After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, with some of the Menuhites, came and waged war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you from Edom and from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En-Gedi.' Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him." This is where we pick up the story. And as the story unfolds, there are three nations who have come together to wage war against King Jehoshaphat and Judah. Now, you may or may not know, you may or may not remember, that Judah is the southern kingdom of a divided Israel. The northern kingdom is often referred to as Israel when it's divided. The southern kingdom, which was a much smaller, it was 2 tribes in Judah, 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. And Judah, so when you read Judah, you're looking at the southern kingdom of Israel. Well, these three nations have now seemed to have gathered on Judah's eastern side, about 15 miles from Jerusalem. And the odds are not in favor of King Jehoshaphat and Judah. I mean, King Jehoshaphat is concerned that he did not know what to do. How was he going to take his small nation of Judah and defend themselves against such a vast and mighty army made by a conglomerate of these three nations? As a king, we are told about his life that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That means he followed God with his heart. So, not knowing what to do, he did the only thing a righteous leader could do. He called the people of Judah to fast and pray, to seek the Lord for the Lord's help. How many times have you found yourself in a predicament where you did not know what to do? You need to learn from Jehoshaphat and take time to fast and pray and seek God. Ask God for direction. The people of Judah came together. The chronicle writer, the one who's telling the story, tells us that people came from many towns in Judah and they assembled at the temple in Jerusalem to seek God. They weren't even in the temple, but just outside, probably because there were so many people. And they came to call on God and ask for God's help. But the writer is making something very clear to us here, that there was unity in the nation of Judah. We see that unity is crucial. It's essential. It's something that is very important when we decide to gather together in prayer. Whether that prayer be just in our small groups, even around a computer screen right now. Whether that gathering for prayer is when we gather back on site in our building when we're able to relaunch and reopen our services. Even more so as we, as a church, are going to be gathering together for a prolonged prayer emphasis in our upcoming 8 days of prayer later this month. It all matters that we are people of unity. We need to learn from Judah. And so the people gathered together, and in verse 6 to 12, we read the prayer that the king, he stands before the people and he gathers them and he begins to pray on behalf of the nation. And these verses record his prayer. Let me read them for you. And so the king said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possessions you gave us as our inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat's prayer is an all-encompassing prayer as he leads his nation. He acknowledges that God is the supreme power of creation. He is the God who rules the heavens and the earth. He is the God over all the nations of the world. He is the God who kept his promise to Abraham and gave Israel the promised land. Then Jehoshaphat calls on God for the situation that they are facing. There are armies waiting to invade. He's asking God for help. He reminds God that they have no ability on their own to defend against or defeat such a great enemy. They are in desperate need of God's help. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat makes it plain and simple. What he's asking is saying, God, we are outnumbered and overpowered. We have no hope except you. Either you do something or we will be destroyed. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. You are our only hope. We are relying on you and you alone. If you don't show up, God, nobody else will. If you don't show up, we will have no hope. Jehoshaphat's statement reflects his complete trust in God and God's ability to deliver Judah from what seems an impossible situation. What does it take for you to have this kind of faith? God is simply asking you to remember what he has said to you. Sometimes he has spoken things right out of his word into our lives and into your life. Sometimes he has spoken to you in that private place where he's whispered hope into your spirit. Sometimes he's revealed a promise over your life to you that he wants you to hold on to. And you need to take hold of that promise. You need to bury it in your spirit and believe what God has said. Because remember this, God never lies. God never takes back his word. God is the one who you could believe in. You can say to God, I am putting my eyes on you. So God has heard the cry of King Jehoshaphat. He has seen the hearts and the unity of the people of Judah. And God responds by putting his spirit of prophecy on a man in the crowd named Jehaziel. And verse 15 records what he says as a prophetic word as the spirit of God comes on him. This is what he says in verse 15. Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. These are the words that Israel heard. And these are the things that we need to hear. Did you catch four strong statements that God made here? He said, do not be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours, but God's. Take your position and stand firm. See the deliverance of God. Let's dive real briefly into each of these statements for a moment, because I think there's things that you and I need to learn here. And the first thing God tells us is do not be afraid or discouraged. This is the encouragement from God that has been spoken through to the people of Israel down through the ages, way back to the times of Moses and Joshua. God is aware that fear can grip us. And if we allow fear to take hold in our lives, it will stop us from believing God and moving forward. See, discouragement would cause us to lose confidence in God. So what God is really saying here is, trust me. Do not allow fear to rob your faith, and do not let discouragement take away your confidence in God. Trust God. Second thing God said is, the battle is not yours, but God's. King Jehoshaphat and Judah really had no ability on their own to fight or even win that battle. And God is reminding them of this fact. He tells them, I will fight the battle. How many times have you tried to do something that only God could accomplish? We need to learn that sometimes the only thing we could do is let go and let God. We need to let go and let God. Then God said, take your position and stand firm. This is not a time to run away. This is a time to stand strong. This is the time to trust God. This is the time to exercise your faith in God. See, there'll be times that you'll know that God has spoken something into your heart and into your spirit. And even though everything around you looks the opposite, there'll be times that you're going to have to stand strong and stand firm, where you're going to have to hold on to the promises that God spoke to you and gave you, even when other people don't understand. Even when other people might think that you're just a little bit too fanatical believing God for the impossible, you need to know what God has said to you. You need to trust God, and you need to believe his word. And then the last thing God said in that prophetic word to Judah was, see the deliverance of God. Judah was not told what would happen. I want you to understand that here. When God said, I'm going to fight your battle and I'm going to deliver you, he didn't tell them the game plan. In fact, God said, I want you to go down tomorrow and march against them. And he told them the place where he would find them, where Judah would find the enemy. Judah was not told what God was going to do, only that God was going to do something. They were told to wait and see what God would do. Wait and see. See, sometimes that's exactly what we have to do. We have to trust God without knowing the plan. Oh, isn't that so difficult? I know that's one of the hardest things for me personally, to trust God when I don't know the plan. I am the kind of guy who wants to have all his ducks in order. I want to know everything. I want to know point A to Z laid out and then follow the plan. But that's not what God is doing with Judah here. He's just saying, trust me now, go out and march against them. How many times are you like me? You just want to know the whole thing. But God is saying, even when you don't know what I am doing, are you willing to step out and trust me? God is saying that we need to know that he is the one who is in control, and we need to follow his plan and stop asking him to follow our plans. See, when the people heard this prophetic word, the story goes on to tell us that they bowed on their faces, they got prostrate on the ground, and they began to worship God. They were in his presence, and some of the Levites who were in charge of worship, so the worship team got up and began to lead loud praise for the people to God in front of the temple. I don't have time today to tell you the rest of the story or to read all of it. You can read it this week, verses 20 to 30. We'll tell you then the story, but I'm going to tell you how it ends. I'm not going to leave you hanging, okay? The next day, Judah prepared the people, and they went to the place of battle that God had told them about. But King Jehoshaphat thought, I am going to send the worshipers out to lead the army, which is not a really good military plan, is it? But when you're trusting God, you don't always go with the good old plan. And so the praisers lead the way, and the people march out to face off against the enemy. And the worship leads the way. You see, sometimes you need to worship your way into the battle and victory that God has for you. So maybe sometimes when you're down, maybe what you need to do is turn on the worship music and sing along with it and worship your way out of the dilemma that you're in. And verse 22 would tell us that as the people worship, God sent ambushes against the enemy. Now you can go read it, but it's really neat what God did. He took, remember there's three armies, he took two of the armies, and the two of them attacked the third army and totally destroyed them. And then we're told that the two armies turned on each other and totally destroyed each other, that there was no army left, there was nobody left. God intervened. When Judah arrived at the appointed place, they were amazed at what they saw. The enemy was dead and defeated. Judah did not have to do anything except praise and believe. Verse 25 would tell you that there was so much plunder between those three armies that it took Judah 3 days to collect all the plunder, all the spoils. See, God provided the victory and the rewards to Judah. When they left the battlefield after the 3 days of collecting plunder, they returned to Jerusalem, went back to the temple, and once again praised and thanked God. See, King Jehoshaphat spoke those words that you and I need to take hold of. Maybe they need to be our motto for this next year. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. See, when you don't know what to do, put your eyes on God. Our eyes are on you. That's the theme of our 8 days of prayer coming up later this month, January 24th to the 31st. I am encouraging, I am inviting you, that's the word. I am inviting you, like King Jehoshaphat invited Judah to a time of prayer and fasting, and they went to Jerusalem and to the temple. We can't gather at the highway building this year, but we can gather together in our hearts and in our spirit, and God hears us. So I am inviting you to 8 days of prayer, and we'll include some fasting there from January 24th to the 31st. And our theme is, our eyes are on you. Maybe you've never really prayed this kind of way, but I'm encouraging you today to step out. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. We're preparing a prayer guide for you for these days of prayer, and it's not quite ready yet. It's almost finished, but when it's finished, we'll notify you, and you'll be able to link to it right off the main page in our website. And so you'll see it there. If you've never seen or done 8 days of prayer with us before, or any of our prayer topics, we keep it fairly basic. There'll be a prayer topic, a prayer theme for each day, a scripture for you to think and meditate on, and some prayer points to help you begin to pray into that topic. Now, you're not limited to the prayer points we give you. We're giving you launching points, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you as you pray. Allow some of your own understanding from the scriptures and from the topic to just begin to pray into it. What we're asking you to do is every day set aside a few minutes, 5, 10, 15, 30, whatever your practice is. And if you've got a regular practice, and I hope you do, a regular practice of praying and reading the word, that you would just either incorporate this into it for these 8 days or just do this for these 8 days, then go back to your plan. However you want to do to keep on your schedule, we invite you to do that. So 8 days of prayer, and we're also going to incorporate fasting. Now don't panic. I am not asking you to fast for 8 days, okay? I'm asking you to try to fast during these 8 days. And if you remember what fasting is going without food for a spiritual purpose. Maybe you fasted with us before, and if you've had a common practice of fasting in your life in the last little while, then I'm going to encourage you to try to fast for 3 days with us. And our 3-day fast will be January the 26th to the 28th. If you've never fasted and you know you're willing to try one day, then go for the middle day, the 27th. What I'm trying to do is unite us as a Highway family on these 3 days of fasting so that we can fast together. Now, I understand that some of you have jobs that don't allow you to fast food because it's physical and you need to keep your strength. Then maybe you could fast something else, TV, fast social media, or find a way that shows your devotion to God. I also want to remind you that if you are on any medications or if you're under doctor's care, would you please check with your doctor if you're on medications before you partake of a fast and make sure that they clear you and they'll tell you how to do it properly. Or you may only be able to fast certain meals a day because you have to have food for certain medications. God understands it's your heart that matters, not how much food you do or do not eat. Also, I want to remind you, in the past, we have a prayer manual we've made, and we're going to make that available. You'll have to download it on the website. It's already there under resources, but we'll link it under 8 days of prayer as well for you. And you can take a look, and there's different models of prayer. There's more talk about fasting and different things. And it's just a manual that will help you as you grow in prayer. And again, our 8 days of prayer guide will also be posted on our website when it's ready in the near future, and we'll notify you. Maybe you're listening to me this morning as I've been talking about the story of King Jehoshaphat and Judah and the enemy that came against them. You've heard how God intervened for them, and you're listening to that story and you're saying to yourself, I want to know that kind of God. I want to know that kind of God personally. You see, God's not way up in the heavens and he wants to be away from you. God wants to be up close and personal to you. And he's reaching out today to many people. And so if you're listening to me today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to know God. Could you help me know God? Let me answer the question. Yes, we can. That's why we're here. But I need you to reach out to me so that I know that you want to know more about God's love. And if you would take your phone and just text me the word love to our number 416-267-1189. Please follow the prompt so that I can get back in touch with you. I and the staff will reach out to you in the coming days, and we want to be able to help you walk in a relationship with God. God is here for you. God knows you. God hears you, and God cares about you. Would you pray with me today? Father, we thank you for the story of your deliverance for Judah. And Lord, it reminds us that you are the God who is not only for Judah in the past, but you're for us today. And so God, I ask that you would help us, that you would bring us through the difficulties of this life, that you would deliver us from the enemies that come against us. And more than that, Lord, that we would put our eyes on you. Help us, Lord, I pray, to know you. Help us to call on you. Help us to keep our eyes on you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.